I want you to look at that up there, the tabernacle, the covering. Subtitle, don't badger him. Okay, sad. If you were looking for a home, of course, maybe some of you like it, reminds me of the mole people, but if you went up to this home and it was a house and someone tried to say, gee, isn't this a beautiful home? You look on the outside, you know what they call curb appeal? This is repeal. Man, it looks like somebody already died to me. I look at that covering and I go, well, it kind of reminds me of King Tut, I guess, a little bit. But there's nothing there that would intrigue me at all to go into this building. Is there anything that would entice you? In today's market, you have to have a beautiful outside home. You have to have a beautiful interior. It has to be your, you know, in a lot of homes, did you know that basically the entryway and the foyer is the biggest part of the house? So you can have a nice stairway, nice spiral stairway. So you can have beautiful piano there so Marianne can come and play it. But you don't have any really room in the house. But you have a great entryway. It's great for guests. You know, we watch some of these shows about fixing up houses, and all they talk about is, well, when we have guests come, and I said, well, gee, I hope you have that much interest in your family. Would you look at that place and go, gee, that looks interesting? See, to me, it looks disgusting. I would not want to go near it. Not really. We live in Minnesota, and pretty soon, we're going to hear that wonderful sound of those little white things falling down. And it ain't dandruff. Okay. And it's coming. Outerwear. Outerwear. Now, I admit that I'm a shallow person. And if I wear a coat, I like it to look cute. I can't help it. That's just who I am. I can't apologize for it. But I'll tell you this much. If all the power went out in our house, which has happened, when it's 50 below, which is lovely, and you can only stick your head in the oven so long, you wear whatever you have to wear to stay warm, don't you? If you're out on the side of the road and you're in a blizzard, it doesn't matter if you're in a fashion statement. You better be warm. You better wear something like that. That's going to protect you. Do you remember some of you might remember, the Armistice blizzard? When people got lost from the car to the front door in the blizzard? A lot of people did. They started tying ropes so they could find their way in. When you need a covering to be safe from the elements, did you know there's only one true covering? That's Jesus Christ. Nobody else will do. And he can't be just the teacher. He can't just be the prophet. He can't just be the great guy he is. He has to be the Savior and the Sovereign, without which you are dead spiritually, absolutely dead. The tabernacle, I'm starting on the outside because that's what you see. That's the visual when you look at the outside of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So turn to Exodus 26. I love the study of the tabernacle because its richness, it gives us so many layers of our relationship to the Lord. And God gave Moses detailed instructions. They were to be followed to the T. You did not divert from them. You did not decide, I don't like that type. I want to use this. You used exactly what he said, because if you didn't, the tabernacle, which was a traveling tent, would never hold up under the elements, and it would never house the glory of God. See, people in today's world think we have to make Jesus fashionable. We have to make him look like he's the king of, you know, New York's fashion street or something. The truth is, we don't need to help him. We need to let people see Jesus through us. God's glory will be revealed on its own. So in the first 14 verses, I'm not going to really be dealing with the first seven, but putting them in here anyway, give you a basic idea of the detail of the tabernacle. Absolute detail. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple and scarlet yarn, with cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman. The Bible is very clear in this book and throughout the Pentateuch, the first five books, they were to be skilled craftsmen. And they had to do it willingly. The Bible specifically says you have to do it willingly. You cannot be dragged into God's presence to serve him or to share about him. That God does not honor. You have to be willing. That's what it says. And all the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long. A cubit's about 18 inches. And 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and do the same with the end curtain in the other set, and make 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set with the loops opposite each other. And you're going to say, well, we're loopy on occasion, so that should work out. But the 50 reminds us of Pentecost, the working of the Holy Spirit. So you have to put all of God's spectrum in as you study this wonderful portion. Then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. It's not just pieces, it's a unit. And then make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle. That first part is curtains that are underneath the tabernacle, visible from the interior, which we'll get to in another session. But this is the portion. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. And all 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. And join 5 of the curtains together into one set and the other 6 into another set. And fold the 6th curtains double at the front of the tent. Make 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in one set and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. And then make 50 bronze clasps and put them in the loops to fasten the tent together as a unit. And as for the additional length of the tent curtains, the half curtain that is left over is to be hung down at the rear of the tabernacle. Did you know God doesn't have a back end to get out? The only place in the Bible where there's no rear area is on the armor of God. There's no place to retreat. Okay? God provides for the back. And so it says the tent curtains will be a cubit longer on both sides. What is left will hang over the sides of the tabernacle so to cover it. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. Doesn't that sound attractive? I mean, come on. You see, you saw, you have seen. I mean, you kidding? It's disgusting. But there's a purpose in it. So the curtains here, the Hebrew word yirah, comes from the word yara, which means hangings. I love hangings. I love when I found that hanging banner in the back there in Rochester. Didn't know that was one of the last days that Christian bookstore would be open. But I love that, the shepherd and the sheep, you know, lost no more. I love that. It's just fabulous. It's a hanging. God put things in so people could look at them and they could learn. That's how they learned in the Hebrew family. They put things on the wall and the children would learn. As opposed in our world where, I don't know what we put up, I hope we learn, but they would learn. And that was the beginning of their education. So here we have the first covering listed that is not seen. You can't see it underneath the outside skin, but it's in there. God put it in there, and it's goat's hair. Goat is the word aze, and it basically is a female goat used in sacrifices, but it forms a strong waterproof cloth suitable for moving. You know, did you know that God is not only miraculous, but he's smart? Are you going to need waterproofing if you're traveling? Are you kidding? You betcha. No question about it. They're woven in 11 pieces, and the hair finely twisted and woven. The scripture is very clear throughout the tabernacle and so many things in the scripture. Things are woven together. You know, you get a stronger pull that way, right? strand of three cords is not easily broken. That's why another illustration of marriage. But it holds together. Now, if you're in the middle of a deluge, that's not a good time for something to collapse. Remember when the Humphrey Dome went, phew? Yeah. Great day to be watching baseball. Yeah. It's woven in 11 pieces. And the goat in the Old Testament primarily was used for the sin offering. So you don't see any of this from the outside visual, but you know that the Lord has put this in here because it needs to be reinforced, that whole covering, so that the elements, the water, and all of the wind and everything else does not destroy the work. And in so doing, if it's going to destroy the covering, you know what's going to happen? It's going to pour into all the beauty that's inside the tabernacle. And we'll get to that. I'm telling you, this is one place that looks like a dump, but when you come in, God is there. The glory of God is there, and God didn't cheap out either. Do you know in the tabernacle, it's the richest stuff that is known to man? And I hope nobody takes offense. He didn't go to Savers, okay? He got it from the original. He'd have went to Savers if they had him. Because he'd have told them, I'm the savior of the world. I'll give you all new clothes, you know. And there's a great label on it, Jesus Christ. That's the best one, right? Okay, this first covering, the word covering, ohel, means a tent, a covering, a dwelling place, a home. The tabernacle was meant to be first a home for God. That is its primary purpose. A place for him to dwell on this earth. Because in his holiness since the Garden of Eden, we all know he could not do that without the parameters that he has set up. So he sets this beautiful interior, which we'll get to in another session. But the scripture talks in some of the detail here, he couples it, and they call it couple. They couple it in groups of five, and then they put them together. Do you know God's the only one that can take two and make one? He's the only one. Everybody else, their math stinks. That's how God works. This word couple in the Hebrew means to unite, to join, to tie, couple together, and it's two into one, and that is unity. And you know what? Without unity, you don't have a unit. You don't. You have fragments. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to work more than anything in the unity of the church, of his church, including this church. Because if it's all fragmented and it's all, I'm doing what I'm doing, you're doing what you're doing, but we're not doing it together under the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no tabernacle. There is no place of his dwelling because it's in fractions. It needs to be unified. Then there were 50 loops at the edge of the curtain. 50 loops. You know, you had to count well, too. Because it had to be exactly 50. And then the clasps of bronze. This is important because in the Bible, bronze stands for judgment. Those clasps of bronze had to touch the loops and then be put into the base and put into the ground. So the tabernacle, the tent of a covering would stand. Very important. And this word here is similar to the other one, echad, means to be united, one, or as an ordinal. It's where we get the word ordination. It is God's ordination, his tabernacle, his temple, his church. Who set it up but him? He's the only one that set it up. And then there's a remnant that hangs over the backside. That must be the church of the 21st century. But at any rate, that word means the hindsight, the back part. And one thing that I think is so wonderful, you remember Moses when the scripture said that he was in the cleft of the rock and he saw what? He saw the back part, the hind part of God. Hey, he saw more in his life than most people will ever see. But God wants to make sure that everything is covered, all the way from the front interior, all the way to the rear of the tabernacle. Number one, to protect it from the elements, but also to protect his holiness. And people don't talk about that much, protecting the holiness of God. Most people in most churches and most philosophies come for what they need. They don't come to guard the holiness. I assure you that's more important to God, because God's going to take care of our needs anyway when we belong to Him. That's how gracious He is. So, the second and third covering, the Bible says the next verse in the 14th verse where it talks about covering is a different word, and it means a weatherboarding. And it's skins. Skins. Do you remember when we first saw skins? It's not on the golf course, because I know there's a skins tournament. Garden of Eden. God made skins for Adam and Eve. Do you know that's why Adam and Eve weren't in the Hall of Faith? They're not in the 11th chapter of Hebrews? You know why? Because they saw God face to face. They didn't have a relationship of faith. They had a relationship of sight. And then they sinned. And then God made skins for them after their figs fell apart. Fig Newtons and all that, you know, didn't work. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to make skins. What happens when you make skins? You have to flay the animal. You have to kill the animal. Sacrifice that animal for the skins. That's what's happening here on the outer covering of the tabernacle. We never think about what it takes to get that in its place. But God thought about it. And the second covering is of ram skin. Ram skin. You know what the ram is in the Bible? From the story of Abraham and Isaac. It is a substitutionary atonement. We're going to get theological for a second. Is that okay to be theological in church? I hope so. I try to make it easy. But substitutionary atonement. You know what that means? We were supposed to be on that altar. We were supposed to be hung on the cross. He's our substitute. And you know, when they took the ram for the sacrifice, they put their hand on the head of the ram and slaughtered it. Do you know what Jesus did for us? He's the head that died for the body. The head was grabbed and slain for us. And those skins are the covering, the second covering. A ram is the leader of the flock. And you also find this in the Old Testament where Abraham has the covenant with the Lord. It was the ram that was given. And when Aaron and his sons were consecrated for dedication as priests and the high priest, it was rams. Do you remember the ram in the thicket? When did God put it there? Could have been there from eternity. Who knows? God didn't open up Abraham's eyes until he had been obedient. And then he saw the ram in the thicket and knew that was going to be the substitutionary for his son Isaac. He was willing and ready to give up the son he prayed for 25 years. I mean, man, God. God wasn't looking to take away his son. God was looking to give him an eternal hope. That's what he was looking for. The second covering is ram skin. And the skins, by the way, is the word for the hide of the animal, obviously. And it said it was dyed red. And the Hebrew word is Adam. It comes from the real word Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. Remember? This word means to be red, to be ruddy. So it also carries in it Esau. And to show blood. It was to be dyed red. And that's an absolute perfect word for this. Dyed. Dyed blood. For the sacrifice. Without blood, the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sins. Again, the goat, the sin offering, the ram is the covering over that with the blood that has been shed. The third covering, the only one that's visible from the outside, the one that looks disgusting, does not look inviting to me, doesn't look interesting. They're not really sure what it is. Tackish is the Hebrew word. They think it might be a porpoise, but it had a purpose. I don't know. There are some that feel it's a badger because it had fur and it would be durable in the elements. But it was this. It was unattractive to the outside view with no concept of what lay within. You would never look at that pile and think the glory and the majesty of God was inside. Just like when people look at us, they might say that too. Well, you're a lovely person, but I would never think of what the beauty and the glory of God that's inside of you. I don't think we even know that, do we? We're so busy seeing visually, we don't see interiorly of what God has placed inside of us. So I want you to turn to Isaiah for a second. 53. Again, people are always presenting Jesus, and he is wonderful. He is more costly than gold. There's no question he is just beyond anything we can imagine. But in his sacrifice and his covering for sin, nobody wanted to look at him. This is the prophecy in Isaiah 53, 1 to 2. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. I'm going to go into the third verse. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. There's another portion of scripture where it says that they talked about him as being not yet 50. Do you know that Jesus aged 20 years? Probably in the last week of his life, the Passion Week. Do you know what extreme stress does to you? Maybe there's others on record, but as far as I know, not. He's the only one where doctors say the highest stress, you start bleeding droplets of blood from your body. Why? He was bleeding for us. He was tearing for us. His body was totally, totally covering our sin. There was nothing that would desire. If you looked at him in that last week, of course the disciples, they left because they were afraid of being hurt themselves. They didn't know what to do. People that are presenting a beautiful Jesus, and he is exquisite in his eternity. But as the suffering servant, there is nothing that man will be interested in. Will they want to go to heaven? Absolutely. Do they want to live for Jesus on this earth? No. They don't want to go to hell, but they don't want to live for Jesus. There was nothing. Nothing. He aged really similar to an alcoholic. An alcoholic will age 20 years. It destroys your body, as does so many other things. The covering in three parts. The goat's hair, the ram's dyed skin, and then the badger, however it's truly known. What does that remind you of? Reminds me of the Trinity. The reinforcement of that threefold cord that cannot easily be broken. For the covering, for the atonement. Atonement means covering. I put in the bulletin, at one meant. It means God has made us at one with him, that unity. The bronze clasps, I want to end with, they were clasped to the scarred hands of the Savior, and they were attached to his body. Jesus didn't die for us metaphorically. He died really. He shed real blood. People looked at him and scorned him. Imagine how we would have looked at the end with his flesh ripped off from all of the punishment, from all of the nails, from the crown of thorns all the way down. Anything there that would say to you, hey, there's my guy. Nobody wanted to say that. But thank God, he looked at us and said, I love Ray. I love Dennis. and I can see every fault in your life. The great song of Dottie Rambo, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need of him. He was bound to the bronze judgment for us, and it had to be staked in the ground, and it had to be connected as a unit for it to be effective. He had to die on this earth, in the ground, classed by the judgment of God. He was judged by his Father for us. How many are glad, though it's an awful, awful view from the outside, God peeked in and saw something in us, his love for us, and was willing to do this. I want you to understand and appreciate the tabernacle all the way through the teachings. The detail, the glory, the colors, the furnishings, and everything else as we go through it, because it's a big subject. But it's important. You know why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is the modern understanding of that tabernacle. It's temporary. We personally are the temple of God. You know why? Because he intends us to have an eternal and a continuous relationship with him. It's not temporal. And the church said, he said, this is my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He set it up. This is his job. And I'm glad. It has his name all over it. So there will be people we witness to. We want to witness. We want them to understand Jesus loves you. We want them to understand he's the best thing going. But they also need to understand that covering and that atonement was horrible. It was horrible. And there was nothing that would be appealing to anybody intellectually or even emotionally. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus starts speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, your spirit will come alive. And that we trust when we witness and when we share our faith. We can't paint the right picture, the Holy Spirit can, and grab people's hearts. So I'd like you to bow your heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we can't even imagine all of the detail, all the planning that went in to the tabernacle, which again was a pattern of what is already in heaven. Lord, it isn't even that everything is new, like it's never existed. It's new in our presence, but not in yours. Thank you for giving us your newness, your freshness. Thank you for giving us your hope and yourself. You basically laid yourself over the top of the tabernacle to protect us from this world. And you are enough if we understand who you really are. I pray you take us deeper in your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to understand what the covering and the furnishings of the tabernacle really mean. And how that, Lord, when it's originally and completely your home on this earth, you chose not just to invite us in as guests, but to let us live here, to be a part of your church, of your body, because your head, as that ram, was laid open, it was destroyed for us, so the body could live. God, just take us deeper to know even more fully and to appreciate the glory of Almighty God. We thank you for it, Lord, and we ask, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we close and sing the last song, okay, where did the oil go that was up here? That fell? Is it still? Oh, it's under here. Okay. The oil of the Holy Spirit cannot be contained, okay? I'm going to ask Dwayne to come up. Oh, he just should have seen his face. And his wife and Maria. He's having eye surgery tomorrow. I found out this morning. I think we should pray for him. What do you think? He's a board member, a wonderful person, and he shakes his head at my jokes, and I love it. He's had a few issues with his eye, haven't you? Board. Dixie?
We love you, Duane, very much. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that the great eyes of the Holy Spirit are upon us. And they see everything and they know what's happening. And we pray, Father, that as you are the shepherd of all and you go ahead in everyone's journey, Lord, you go ahead of us. Father, I pray that you'd go ahead for the surgery tomorrow. Lord Jesus, first of all, that, Lord God, it would not be as maybe deep as they think or whatever is going on, but that, Lord, it would be able to be taken care of and you would take any pressure or whatever is happening, Lord, in that eye. Father, we thank you, your eyes upon him. We thank you for his love for you, for his concern for so many people. Now we're concerned for him. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, that you would just heal and restore him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, the great God of all, who said, Lord, that we can cast all of our cares on you, Lord Jesus. And I know we go to the doctors and I know you use them. But Lord, it is your blessing and your benevolence, Lord, and your healing that actually comes forth. Lord, they can't bring the healing. Only God can. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for you to touch him and anywhere else. Lord, minister, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now we're going to end with one of the great hymns of the church, the Old Rugged Cross. And again, if you're here today and you've decided it's a good time to stand on that old, ugly, terrible, splintered, awful cross, because it was not sanded, it did not look pretty. If you want to stand with him, you can come up here while we're singing, but please stand.
I love that old cross where the
we close, I'm going to ask if there's somebody that just really, God, just touch your heart about the cross or his love for you, whatever it might be, and you want to come up here and you want to close in prayer, please do so. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. I'm waiting for somebody to say, I want to tell Jesus how grateful I am. So you come up.
Lord, I thank you for this message of that each one of us is your temple. We have your Holy Spirit which seals us, and we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now our covering, that is over our entire being to protect us and to help us to be the soldiers that we are to be for the cross. Help us every day to see that responsibility that we have, that we are to go forth, and that we do make a difference in this world because of the presence that lives within us and the power that resides within us. I thank you for your word earlier as the service started, that it's just by your grace and your mercy, it's nothing that we do, nothing. We look at our lives and it's filthy rags and it's troubles and it's sorrow and we're like the grass and it withers and it quickly passes away. We had nothing to offer you and you gave everything. And you provide everything like the children sang for us. You are our safety. You are our refuge. You provide all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This entire service was knit together and interwoven for our benefit to let us know we are God's temple of the Holy Spirit that is protected and can go forth against the enemy, and hell cannot have the victory. You are the victorious one that lives in us, and we are your children. We thank you for that inheritance. We thank you for that visual that you gave us today. Help us to receive it and go forth this week in your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.